Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of
Whatever News!
The only news source that provides anything and everything anime and manga related. And we don't bore you, we get into it. Let's do it.
No matter how you grow, get it done. No matter how you grow, get it done. No matter how you grow, get it done. No matter how you grow, get it done.
Okay, people, so some important updates I gotta give you guys before we get into the stories. For starters, in case you missed it, over on my community tab, I posted that as of recent, there's been a little bit of spam bots going around and some people that are trying to scam people in our community using my name. So unless it's said by me or on one of my official accounts that are linked in the description below of every freaking video, then please don't fall victim to these people. I'm seeing that this is becoming an ongoing problem in the YouTube community in general, but looking at it, I was like, whoa, because a few people sent me some screenshots such as this one. And yeah, please, by all means, I'm not on Telegram. I don't even know what that is. I'm not doing no current giveaways unless you hear from me otherwise, which I do plan on doing some giveaways in the future. And it sucks that this happened because it kind of muddies it a little bit, but I'm going to try my best not to let it. Till you hear from me or one of my official accounts, please don't fall victim to it. Second order of business, please subscribe and hit that bell if you're not. Since the last few months, I've been dealing with some stuff and I haven't been uploading as frequently. YouTube doesn't like that and it has stunted our growth over here, and we want to continue to thrive, grow, and change. And I like to be transparent with you guys so you understand what we're going through over here. You know, sharing, liking, commenting, all of those things help. They help a lot. Like, don't think like, oh man, you know, I didn't support Feneb's merch last time or anything like that. I know a few people were a bit bummed about that. Like, don't worry about it. Like, that's totally fine. You just watching alone means a lot. Watching as much as you can means a lot. Liking all of that extra stuff you had to do, I really, really appreciate it. So if you could, if you're not subscribed, you just happen to run into this video because of some of the topics or the thumbnail or whatever, please hit that subscribe and bell. We do a lot of really awesome work over here keeping you updated in the world of anime and manga in case maybe you're not even watching or reading right now. I got you covered so you can stay tapped in. Wow, people, this one right here was like, yo, what? This almost feels like an omen and a sign of the times of, yeah, everything is coming to an end. And that's why I try my best not to put a little bit more of the positive stories, because stuff like this, while it's awesome when a story reaches its conclusion that the author was, you know, allowed, especially a large run for a spinoff. I don't think this is common at all for a spinoff to run this long, but according to this big update, My Hero Academia Vigilantes will be ending with the next chapter. Wow, let's read, because wow. Vigilantes, My Hero Academia Illegals by Betancourt, Hideyuki Furuhashi, Kohei Horikoshi will end May 28th on Shonen Jump Plus's app and website. It says here, My Hero Academia Vigilantes spinoff manga ends next chapter, May 28th. The latest chapter of writer Hideyuki Furuhashi and artist Betancourt's My Hero Academia Vigilantes manga on Shueisha Shonen Jump Plus website and app revealed on Saturday that the manga will end in its next chapter, May 28th. Viz Media confirmed they will release the final chapter in English, May 27th. Furuhashi and Court launched the manga in Shueisha's Shonen Jump Giga magazine, August 2016. The manga then relaunched on Jump Plus in December 2016. So they took like a little break. I didn't know that. I thought it's been ongoing since the initial launch. And a lot of people tell me that My Hero Academia Vigilantes is even better than the actual series, which is crazy. Again, like, this is an anomaly with this one. And I've heard rumors, and I'm going to just put air quotes, rumors, that My Hero Academia Vigilantes already has an anime in the works, and that could very well be the case, because again, if we're in this era now, if you follow Feneb News, please, you should follow us, you would know that we're in an era where it looks like they're starting more so to go into end the manga, then do the anime, which kind of feels like that should have been the case all along. That way we got complete works rather than these incomplete anime that we've had throughout time. But it seems as though that's going to be the case now, opposed to, again, they used to just have the manga keep going way after the anime ends, and it would always be a bummer of like, yeah, manga's better, it goes on, it continues the story after, blah blah blah. They're not doing that anymore, and My Hero Academia Vigilantes, despite the fact that, again, it had such such a massive run. If they're ending it now, it could be because the anime is on the way and there's going to be a big relaunch of My Hero. Because let's face the facts, let's talk reality right here. While there is a lot of people that still absolutely love My Hero Academia, I've seen in our community personally, in a lot of communities here over on YouTube, that a lot of people really have fell off of My Hero Academia, and it just doesn't feel the same anymore. It doesn't feel that hype that it had in the last couple of years. Like, there was a point where I was shocked with myself to say that My Hero Academia was my favorite manga. Like, when the whole war and Shigaraki and everything, like, that was times where I was like, yo, this is my favorite manga right now. So to go from that to where we're at, where people are like dropping it and saying, I'm just reading it till it's over, I want to be a little bit optimistic and say that's because they got a big relaunch coming. And sometimes, like, for example, with anime, I'm going to give you a prime example of actual legit facts. When it comes to the filler time, they are oftentimes told with filler to purposely dumb down the material and given strict guidelines so that it doesn't outshine the, you know, main series and the main story, which I've always found to be a weird practice, but nevertheless, hey, it's a thing. I mean, I understand the logic behind it because, hey, if the filler is better than the canon, people are going to request the filler more. It would make a negative impact potentially on the manga sales and all that jazz. So I get that logic too. But yeah, this is just kind of crazy. Honestly, My Hero Academia has had what feels like a big fall, but again, I truly think that it's going to come swinging. I think we're going to get a vigilante anime, probably with that next chapter. I wouldn't be surprised if next week we get a big announcement. My Hero Academia vigilante anime on the way, going to adapt the full manga, and then vice versa with My Hero. I kind of feel like the original series, like, either A, they're going to end it, and who knows? Imagine they're doing it in reverse. What if it's because they realize My Hero has peaked, and they're allowing right now it to kind of look a little bit dumbed down? They're telling Horikoshi maybe to do things fast, so that My Hero Academia vigilantes could shine. I mean, I've seen a lot of people really bigging up vigilantes. And quickly, since we're on the topic of My Hero Academia, we got a small little update that said here, My Hero Academia will be revealing a new key visual for its TV anime 6th season in Weekly Shonen Jump issue number 25. So we're also going to be getting the My Hero Academia season 6 anime here soon, which is going to be very interesting. Like, potentially, and I don't know if it would be ideally, but definitely potentially, we could have My Hero Academia on a very consistent basis of, or shall I say, just a lot of My Hero. Because let's just say if we get a My Hero Academia vigilantes anime alongside the anime that is still running, which still has like what, one or two seasons left, like, we could have My Hero Academia the anime finish its run right here with this season, and then next year, boom, we'll have like vigilantes and then the next season of My Hero. Or who knows, maybe they're gonna spread it apart. I don't know how this is gonna work, and we can't completely be sure that they're not gonna announce vigilantes and take 100 years. I mean, we're like over 415 or something days since the announcement of the Black Clover movie coming, and we still don't even have a freaking trailer, so you never know. But yeah, people, just wanted to give you guys an update that we're getting a little bit more of a showcase of what season 6 is going to look like with a new key visual in the upcoming issue of Jump. One Piece fans, you're going to get excited. I'm always excited when it comes to One Piece gaming for some reason. In particular, One Piece gaming, to me, like, even if they're not the greatest games, usually I have so much fun playing One Piece games because it's just a really enjoyable experience to be able to play as my favorite, you know, of the Straw Hats and run around and do things from the anime. Like, it's just a really fun thing. And we've got an update a while ago now that One Piece was getting a new game, One Piece Odyssey, and now we got an update on it. This was a new One Piece Odyssey image and character design in issue number 24 of Weekly Shonen Jump, and we see some of the characters. For starters, of course, we got Luffy, we got, ooh, is that the chick from Zabuki Archipelago? I can't even remember, but okay, we got that. And then we got that dude, oh my god, doesn't that look like the dude from Jaya? I want to say, I really like his design too. I love the long, like, hey, the long hair, right? Yo, long hair don't care. Nah, I love the long hair and the tattoos and shit. Like, that dude's design is sick. Again, he looks like the dude from Jaya. I wonder if this is like maybe Jaya in the old days. Luffy gets transported to the past. But I am very excited for this game. Like, this game looks like it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm not gonna have my expectations too high, and that's the thing we gotta do. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can't have our expectations too high because we've been disappointed, at the very least, if you've been following anime games for the last like decade plus. We've been burned quite a few times. One Punch Man, a hero nobody played, for example, like, that was one that was very disappointing. But yeah, this is going to be very awesome, and in fact, it's going to be a great time to relaunch my gaming channel that I used to use called No Longer a Game. Now we're calling it Frenev Always Wins. Link in the description below if you want to subscribe, because yeah, we'll have content coming there soon, some gaming, anime gaming, and I'll probably be playing with a lot of you guys, and I'm very excited for that. Like, yo dog, imagine we get to play and have some fun, and all of those conversations we always talked about, like, hey, we're going to have someday, I'm going to be able to talk talk with you. We could game and talk. So Fnav always wins. Yeah, relaunch coming soon. Link in the description below. Then Fire Force fans, get excited because Fire Force has reached a huge milestone. Yeah, I know recently Fire Force has had a slew of announcements between the manga coming to a conclusion after I don't know how many years now. Atsushi Okubo coming out, I think it's 2 years ago now, and saying that this was going to be their last work, their last manga that they were doing. They weren't doing anything else because yeah, I know they had Soul Eater prior to Fire Force. So, you know, Soul Eater and Fire Force, they were done. We got the announcement that season 3 of the anime is on the way, and now we hear that Fire Force by Atsushi Okubo, with amazing timing considering it just ended, has 20 million copies in circulation worldwide, and the final volume will be out May 17th. And I want to say Fire Force has either already surpassed or is on the way to surpassing Soul Eater, their previous work, in terms of sales. But either way, shout outs to Fire Force, shout outs to Atsushi Okubo. That's a really solid run. I honestly feel like that's a real run. It doesn't feel like an inflated run. And what I mean by that, it doesn't feel like, oftentimes I legit question some of the sales of some manga. I'll just keep it real. I don't really like to inject it too much into these episodes of Fnav News, because then y'all be thinking like, oh, you're getting into, you know, theories and conspiracies, just, you know, talk the news, whatever. But I oftentimes do question the validity of some manga sales. However, I don't question Fire Force. I feel like that is just a very solid and realistic run. You know, those amount of years, 20 million copies of, you know, two seasons of an anime that was so popular and successful that they had to make a third season, you know, a veteran mangaka. Like, it feels like that was just a really successful and realistic run. Like, shout outs to, again, Atsushi Okubo. I wonder if they really are done with manga, because you never know. You know what I'm saying? Like, as a creative, you always yearn to go back to that. Like, I often yearn to do music again. I don't think I ever will at this particular point, because I'm kind of like firm on certain aspects of my life at this point, but I still yearn. I still sometimes enjoy spitting something off the top of my head, you know, jumping in a cypher if dudes is rapping and shit like that. I still enjoy doing that, but I don't know if I'll necessarily go back. So I guess time will tell within the next few years if Atsushi Okubo will return. Not to mention that Fire Force still has a bit of a run to go. There's still going to be the next season, depending on if it's going to wrap everything up or not. There could be one after that. Maybe we could get a Fire Force movie. I don't know, but I just support this creator a lot because it just feels very organic. It feels like everything is genuine from top to bottom of this really cool run. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, but it just feels that way. And while I got you here, let's jump into the top 50 best-selling manga of the week, courtesy of Jose_Ke. And immediately we got 50 through 41, and I'm not gonna lie, I kind of took a little sneak peek throughout here, and this is gonna be an interesting one. You're gonna want to watch this one all the way through. But from 50 to 41, of course, Tokyo Revengers rounding it out. And I'm not gonna lie, off rip, that kind of caught me off guard of, damn, a Tokyo Revenger volume is probably going to leave the top 50 without hitting a mil. We could call it maybe stagnation of, you know, Tokyo Revengers, because like every volume since this big blow up has hit a million before it's left the top 50. This could technically be the first one to leave because it still has a little bit of a run to go. Like, they could try and push to make sure, because it's at 984 and it needs 16 more, but is it going to get 16 next week? It probably will hit a million no more than 3 weeks from now, to be on the safe side. That's going to be my estimation, but it probably won't even be there. So Tokyo Revengers without the anime, we're seeing a little bit of the decline of sales slowly but surely. Not to mention that the manga lately, people have just been, you know, going wild calling it out. And is it just me, or every time I see this manga that's at number 48, Hikaru ga Shinda Natsu, it just looks like a younger, creepier Gojo from Jujutsu Kaisen. That's what I always think. Like, then 47, this one is very interesting considering all the news and everything that's been coming out lately. My Hero Academia Vigilantes or Illegals, number 47, is the latest volume in 7 days, 13,000. I'd imagine that's another reason for them to put it to bed of, like, it's not a big seller. Like, clearly, if the new volume of this series in a full week, 7 days, full week, can only do 13,000, I mean, granted, I think with an anime and the right push, this could lead into a different direction, because I feel like, and this is where Horikoshi really is gonna be just eating and eating, because he don't really even gotta worry about a spinoff to My Hero. Like, think about it like this, and who knows, this could be the future of it. And I'm sorry I'm derailing, but I just gotta say this, that what if My Hero Academia, the reason why Horikoshi is going to end it this year or you know, starting into next year possibly, is that they're going to be doing a big run of Vigilantes. They're going to let Vigilantes anime run its course, whether it be, you know, I don't know, there's a lot of volumes for that shit, so that probably could run for a few years. Once Vigilantes done, boom, come back. By that time, the audience from the original My Hero will have grown even further. Then we come with My Hero Society or My Hero Academia, new class, and Deku is like
All Might, the teacher of that class.
Except, again, they focus on the characters that we, you know, kind of grew with. And that would be really insane, and I think that could be the potential. I don't know. But yeah, just shout-outs to My Hero Academia Vigilantes. It's not the greatest sales in the world. I think once the anime comes, we're going to be reevaluating that. Number 46, we got the spinoff. A lot of spinoffs. Whoa, we're in the spinoff era, huh? Even in movies in Hollywood, anyway. But the Detective Conan Volume 2, the Police Academy spinoff, 13,000. Jumping up a little bit at number 42. Spy Family Volume 1 through 3. That anime, you're going to see throughout this list, because this one did 16,000. As a matter of fact, I'm going to let my guy Chris tell you a little bit more about Spy Family, because he's been way more in tune with this season of anime than myself. Chris, let him know a little bit about Spy Family.
Hey guys, so as you can see, I was just in the middle of editing this video for Frenev, but he wants me to come in here and tell you about Spy X Family. Or is it Spy Family? Because it's like the good old question of, is it Hunter Hunter or is it Hunter X Hunter? Spy X Family is one of those anime that is just blowing up right now. It's on pretty much everyone's ranking as the number one choice. As mentioned, I did a top 10 spring video that's also featuring Frenev, so you might want to check that one out. I think he's going to put that link in the description, probably. But spoiler ahead of time, I did put that one as my number one choice, and Frenev came in to talk about this one as well, so we both agree this anime is just off the hook right now, because it just has that perfect blend of comedy mixed with action, because you have Cloverworks and Wit Studio working on this, and for me personally, you got Wit for those beautiful action sequences as you saw in Jujutsu Kaisen Season 1, then you have Cloverworks that leans a little bit more into the slice of lifestyle anime, but they always have such beautiful looking gorgeous animation, and they've done stuff like Wonder Egg Priority and Shadow House, and those are both awesome animes as well, but it's just stuff like that that gives me so much hope that series like Spy X Family is going to absolutely succeed and at least stay number one till the next season arrives. So we have to follow our main character Twilight, who goes into another country to have to spy on it, hence the name Spy. But then there's the second part of that, which is family, and he has to recruit a family so he can fit in. So his first recruitment is this little girl that goes by the name Anya, and she has psychic powers, and so she can read minds. Then he has to recruit a wife who is also an assassin, but he's not aware that she's an assassin, and she's not aware that he's a spy, and the only person that knows their dynamic is the little girl, because she can read both of their minds, and so that plays within the dynamic of the series, of the comedy aspect of everything, along with them not knowing what's going on, but it just kind of makes all these funny dynamics that really makes it entertaining. So you really can't ever go wrong when you have a mix of comedy and beautiful looking action sequences, so what more could you possibly want in an anime series? It's got everything you need, so this is one you will definitely want to check out if you haven't already. And also, if you want to check out my top 10 spring video that's also featuring Frenev, then check out the link in the description, he'll have that below. And I'm going to send this one right back to Frenev. Thank you so much for having me on. Back to you.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate you informing the people a little more of Spy Family. And yeah, go check out that collab we did. It's a pretty cool one. Then we got 40 through 31. Let's see, we got, oh wow, so volume 6 of Ron Komonohashi, The Range Detective. And you're probably like, yo, Frenev, what is Ron Komonohashi? Why didn't you just say that with your chest out? Like, if you love that manga, like, I don't know that manga too well, but I do know that that is the manga by the author of Katekyo Hitman Reborn, Akira Amano, and this is their latest volume in a full 7 days, and I love that this, I wish the sales always came in with everything being in a full 7 days, because I love to get a better gauge of like, oh, so unrestricted, a full week, this is what it did, and that's not great at all, I'll be honest with you. If you're 6 volumes in, doing 16,000, bring back Reborn. I'm gonna just keep it a buck with you. Like, I'm sure this manga is fabulous. I'm sure it's great. Bring back Reborn. Like, somebody at Shueisha, I know that y'all started the committee recently, and maybe y'all been giving, you know, Akira Amano enough time so that she can get things in order or whatever, but maybe we can have a big revival of Reborn. That would be so freaking amazing. Oh my god. Bring it back. Like, Ron Komonohashi, your ass out of here. All respects. I'm just totally joking. It's for the sake of this podcast or this show, whatever you want to call it. And number 36, Bakido, volume 13, 16,000. Bakido, yo, that's kind of crazy. I mean, some people are going to be like, yo, Frenev, you just shitted on Ron Komonohashi for those sales. How are you going to big up Bakido? It did just barely over what, you know, Ron Komonohashi did. The difference is Bakido, this is volume 13 of a series that has like 10 million other series before it, 100 million other anime and stuff like that. To still be doing it this far into the game, Baki the Grappler is a long thing. Like, no, that is amazing to be doing 16,000 this late, like 20, I don't even know how long has Baki been going going for. Editor, let them know how long Baki's been going for, and that's how long this dude has been rocking out. We got at number 32, Takopi's Original Sin with 19,000. And I revert to, hey, Aladdin, why are you crying? Then we got 30 through 21. And I gotta just stress that Undead Unluck cover looks so freaking cool. Like, shout outs to that cover. That cover of Andy looks cool as hell. Volume 11, 21,000, 21.9 to be precise in total. And I'ma just keep it real. That's not great for Undead Unluck. I remember the days of Undead Unluck doing 40, 50. It was in, like, you know, the conversation of, like, whoa, this could start hitting the 100K first week type of thing. To go from that to 21, something severely went wrong, or Jump just, like, lost faith in this series being big and stop pushing it or something. I don't know what, but something severely happened that kind of stopped its growth and its buzz. Like, while Marshall has also, like, it almost feels like most manga have declined. I ain't even gonna lie to you, like, looking at the sales week to week, it feels like out of the last, I'd say, 6 months, we've saw a crazy decrease in sales, but Undead Unluck has suffered severely. Like, this is half of what it was doing a year ago. And I'm not saying that the series is bad. All I hear is positive things. I'm saying that is not good right now. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on over here. Then we got Blonde Aladdin at 28. Detective Conan 101, 29,400. Okay, so, you know, this late in the game, volume 101 does 403,000 in 19 days for Detective Conan, while One Piece at volume 102, you know, basically running the same amount of time almost, did 35 this week, 1.5. So that's the difference. Like, literally, One Piece is pretty much three times popular than Detective Conan. I guess that also depends on how much push and how much marketing dollars is behind each of them right now. But clearly, you know, it shows the difference between Shueisha's top title, or one of their top titles, and Detective Conan being Shogakukan's top titles. That's the difference. I feel like it's like Shogakukan is 25, Kodansha is 50, and Jump can be anywhere from 75 to 90, depending. And I'm talking about, like, sales-wise, of percentage-wise of how popular they are. Let me be clear. Like, the popularity, like, Shogakukan is like a 25% in popularity. You know, Kodansha is about 50% because you got those Attack on Titans and Fairy Tales and Tokyo Revengers. And then Shueisha, anywhere from, you know, a One Piece with Naruto, Bleach, all of that stuff. So that's where I go with it. Hopefully I made some type of sense. I don't know. World's End Harem, volume 15, 40K in 7 days. That was 40,000 people that their arms were very, very sore for some reason. Then we got a massive amount of Spy Family. Again, Chris, did you do this? Did you come up with this list? Places 20 through 14. It's just a crazy bonanza. Like, 50 to 60,000 people after watching the latest episode of Spy Family ran out and bought these, because this is volume 3, 1, 2, 6, 5, 7, 4. All of those, they did anywhere from 51,000 to 64,000. Incredible. Like, bravo. And again, I feel like this is Shueisha trying to appeal more to the common family, so to speak. Like, this manga, just this series appeals to so many demographics, because you get a kid audience, an adult audience, a female audience, a male audience, a family audience. Like, they were smart with this one. They tailored it very carefully. In fact, everywhere from 14 to 11, we got some stuff to talk about. Number 13, Tokyo Revengers, 24 days, 785,000. While that is definitely not bad, I would argue that's maybe a little bit of a decrease from the previous volume. I would say that cover didn't help, because it's just, like, not my favorite cover. Then number 12, Jujutsu Kaisen. Yo, dog, how long ago this volume came out already? That was April 4th. Okay, it's been a little bit over a month and a half, basically. 65,000, 1.5. Again, just bravo to that. Jujutsu Kaisen's manga, I've been hearing a lot of jokes lately that it's getting way too complex, but that's a different story. Number 11, though, we gotta talk, and I'm putting the phone down for a second. We gotta talk honesty, we gotta talk reality. It's time to get to the time skip, or rebrand, or do something already. And I don't understand what play they're at with this one, whatnot. If it's just that, like, hey, we can't sacrifice the quality of the story, but Boruto is suffering, dog. Like, between the anime right now basically being in this never-ending anime original stuff that I am hearing fans aren't really all that happy with, I'm hearing that it's like they are ambitious and they're trying to be interesting, like, they're dropping bodies, I'm hearing, all over the place, but it's just not being executed properly is what I'm hearing. And I feel like the anime isn't really helping the manga at all, and in fact, this is a clear demonstration that Boruto Boruto is low-key massively downward right now, and I think that'll definitely change here probably in the near future in terms of the popularity. I don't know if it'll help the manga's sales per se, because with the latest volume in a full 7 days, it did 67,589. That's not great for Boruto at all. I think it also attributed to the fact of, because we got to be putting things into perspective, right? I don't want to just completely say Boruto's dead, because look at that cover. What does that cover have? It has Ada, it has Code, and it has Damon, right? Probably a good chunk of you watching this right now are saying, who the fuck is Ada, Code, and Damon? And that's because it looks like what they're doing is they're being very conscious of what they're releasing and understanding that, yo, we're never going to get them to care about the next gen if we constantly keep on crutching on Naruto, Sasuke, and the previous gen. Bottom line, they're not going to care about the new gen if we don't push them. So it'll be a sacrifice now that you're like, whoa, we just went from, we was breaking 100K first week, even sometimes in a few days. How the hell are we only at 67? There's no Boruto. There's no Naruto. There's no there's none of the recognizable characters. In fact, the color scheme, aside from the red on Damon's jacket, kind of feels a little bit like, not stale, but just not standout-ish. This was a very conscious choice of them understanding and building for the future. I think they recognize that they're never going to make this version of Boruto the success that they were hoping for, so they're probably betting on building these characters and making the next iteration of the Naruto franchise more successful. And what I mean is, like, whether it be the time skip or whatever they got planned, they're setting up and they're like, yo, let's just sacrifice the ending of Boruto part 1 with a whole lot of build up so that part 2 people really, really care about this next gen, because if not, we're going to be screwed, because people still don't really care about the next gen all like that, aside from hardcore Borutos, and you need the casuals to keep it going. And I know I did a massive deep dive on that, but that is not good for Boruto, and I understand why it is, but the perception of people is going to be, and maybe that's why it's good that I have a voice that I'm able to tell you guys that this is probably why it's happening. It's not that people have just dropped off dramatically between the last two volumes. Well, there probably is a bit of a decline. Ultimately, it's a purposeful of, yo, let's work on our future right now. Like, I get it. We could easily throw Naruto, Sasuke, Sakura. We could do all sorts of things and get these sales up by another 20,000-30,000. How about we focus on making the best right now, and over time people are going to run back and get these? Because let's just say they rebrand to Boruto Shippuden, Boruto Z, whatever you want to call it, and ultimately everybody falls in love with these characters. It's a way more serious tone, they get a different demographic, it just starts blowing up, people go back to volume 17 and they fanboy over this. But we gotta wait and see. Hopefully Boruto Shippuden is a big deal and it's seasonal. That would help too. Then top 10, after that long thing, and we still got a bunch of volumes to talk about, there's just a lot of things going on. And starting off at number 10, Marshall volume 11 in a full 7 days, 68,000. Wow, that is not bad at all. It also shows a little bit of a decline for Marshall. I don't want to say a major one. And also with Marshall announcing that the manga has entered its final arc, I'd imagine sales are probably going to be very interesting for this moving forward. So, like, yes, it's a small decrease, and unfortunately, I remember Marshall was like in the 90s to 100 for a bit. Like, manga as an industry has went down. It's just how much have certain series been affected. And Marshall debuting top 10, still no anime, 100 plus chapters in. Shout outs to Marshall. More Spy Family at number 9. Akagami no Shirayukihime, 77,000. I don't know what that is, but the art looks kind of interesting. I like. Then we got Spy Family Eyes Only official fan book, 80,000. Oh, they caking, baby. They caking. The Spy Family cake. Number 6. I love to see it, and I really got to get back into it. I know I keep saying that, but I really, really do. And I really want to. Is it on Manga Plus? I want to say it's on Manga Plus. Don the Don, volume 5, 83,000. Still doing, like, Don the Don also maybe has seen a slight dip or something, but it's still doing fabulous. That's still great for a new series that doesn't have an anime. Wait till that anime gets announced. Like, it's crazy, because I know that realistically, we're not going to get a Don the Don anime for a long time, because they got to get Chainsaw Man out first. Like, this is like in the same vein as Chainsaw Man. So I'm sure they want to see, well, what is the extent where we could take it with Chainsaw Man? And then they'll probably go forward with building up other series. But Don to Don, like, oh, look at that cover. Look at the granny. I'm getting back into it. Mark my freaking words. You guys will get something about Don to Don. Then Spy Family Volume 9, 100. Oh my God, just the sales is crazy. Now, what's Natsume Eugene Cho? I have no idea, but it did crazy sales. For a second there, I thought it was Ayashimon from afar, but that's definitely not Ayashimon. That would have been sick. Ayashimon doing 100K. Then top 3. Wow. Rurouni Kenshin's Hokkaido arc, Volume 7. How? When? When did the Rurouni Kenshin restoration become so big to be competing with Juggernauts, outdoing stuff like Marshall, Don the Don, and Spy Family stuff? Like, when did that happen? Like, I don't, and I'm not, please don't mistake that I'm saying Rurouni Kenshin's not popular. It is massively
extremely popular. The Hokkaido arc volumes, I don't remember selling 100 and crazy things debuting top 3, but maybe I'm just misremembering. And either way, shout outs to Kenshin Legendary Series. Not a big fan of the author, but I do love some Kenshin, I guess. I don't know. And then number 2, One Punch Man Volume 25, 212 and 7 days. Big ups to One Punch Man. I think that's an increase from the last volume, if I'm not mistaken. Or either way, it's very, very good. And then number 1, my babe, the queen, My Hero Academia Volume 34 with that star and stripe cover. Look at my gal, 448,000. My Hero Academia, while online presence, people are kind of dipping a bit out on it. Those sales say otherwise. Those sales say that there will be more My Hero down the road, and they're not going to allow Horikoshi to just, or Horikoshi himself ain't going to allow his pockets to be blown up like that. There's going to be a My Hero down the road, I'm sure of it. And these sales is not lying. Like, yo, that's 500,000 copies. Number 1, Star and Stripe looking amazing. Shout outs to My Hero. Wow. By the way, while I got you here, make sure to hit that subscribe and that bell to get all notifications on what we're doing over here. And like we were speaking about earlier with my FNEV Always Wins gaming channel, gaming in general, it seems like things are about to get interesting, and I'm very excited. Now, y'all know if you follow FNEV News, we talked about it a few episodes ago, that it seemed like CyberConnect 2, based off this reliable insider source leak, was working back on the Naruto franchise. A lot of people were like, yo, could it possibly be? Again, this dude that leaked the information had been right about a lot of different things in the past, so it was like, yo, there's probably some validity to it. And where there's smoke, there might be a little bit of fire, my lord, because it seems as though, potentially, CyberConnect 2 is gearing up for something big. Now, this could be nothing, it could be something, considering the fact, again, that we have those insider source potential leaks, but also, CyberConnect 2, it seems as though they had posted a couple of pictures, and they posted a caption with it saying, between experiencing the highs and lows of being a new studio, continuing to grow, the new encounters, the discoveries, and a pandemic, CC2 Montreal has experienced many changes since its opening. Here is baby CC2 MTL versus our wonderful team today. May the journey never end. And you're probably like, okay, cool stuff, whatevs. However, if you just take a closer look at these photographs that they posted of the entire team, the CC2 team, together, you see that they're holding a lot of Demon Slayer, right? Demon Slayer Hinokami Chronicles is a CC2 game that they're, you know, working on, whatever. But then I see one gentleman in particular towards the front that is holding a Boruto volume that has Kawaki on it. Now you could say, yo, but Naruto, you know, Storm, Kawaki was never a Naruto Storm. Naruto Storm doesn't have Kawaki. In fact, Kawaki is Shinobi Striker game, but that Shinobi Striker game is done by Namco Bandai. It's, or Bandai Namco, what are they called now? I don't know, it's like crazy. But yeah, the fact that there's some people holding Boruto volumes, likewise towards the far left, I see at least 3-4 dudes holding Boruto volumes. And just shout outs to this picture in general. The love and passion in here looks so real and genuine. Shout outs to all you guys over there in the Montreal section of CC2. But I think this pretty much almost confirms it. Shout outs to my guy PS360HD2. He's the one that been keeping me in the loop with all of this stuff. It seems like CC2 is potentially working on that Naruto Storm 5, whatever it's going to be, whether it be Boruto Storm or Boruto Naruto Next Storm. I don't know what the hell they're going to call it, but wow. And realistically, y'all know y'all want Baryon mode in Naruto Storm. Don't lie to me. I want it. I can't freaking wait to play it. Oh my god. With the revival of my gaming channel, and then this is like gonna be the golden era all over again. Oh, I can't freaking wait. FNEV always wins, baby. Go subscribe. Now let's take it down a notch and jump into the weekly Shonen Magazine author comments, courtesy of Jose_K. We're gonna start off with Four Nights of the Apocalypse author, Nakaba Suzuki. And there you have it, everyone. An anime is coming. Look forward to it. Yo. Well, let me not get too excited. We've been burned many a times. I don't know. It's just the thought of more sins of like, yo, I really love the Seven Deadly Sins. It's just always a mixed thing because y'all know what they did with the anime. But yo, Nakaba Suzuki, shout outs and congrats, dog. Like, you're an awesome creator. You really stay on top of things. Then we got Kei Urano, one of the rookies, or the rookie pretty much of Weekly Shonen Magazine with Gachi Akuta. There's a mature person within my staff. They only ever snicker when someone carelessly makes a mistake. So pretty much he's goofing on his staff. Okay. We see you, fam. I really gotta jump back in and catch up with Kate Udona. I've been saying that. I know I'm off the scene when it comes to certain things. I'm gonna get it together, and I can't wait for that. Just shout outs to that series in general. Then moving forward, let's take a look at Blue Lock's editor, Tia. May 12th is my birthday. You ladies know what that means without me saying anything, right?
yo, this dude loves women. This dude loves the ladies. Every time the editor of Blue Lock got a comment, he always says something about how amazing he is, how much he loves the ladies. Yo, I see you, big fella. I see you. Hiro Mashima, author of Eden Zero, Fairy Tail Ray, Fairy Tail Andrea's Quest. I played games online with a buddy for the first time in a while. They had to invite me in some time because they thought I was busy. It's understandable. A lot of people don't invite me to shit because they always think, yeah, Fnet's gonna say no. He'd rather be working on his YouTube stuff. I love my people. I'm sorry. But dude, Hiro, if you ever want to hang out, if you ever want to talk, if you ever want a game, I'm available. I'm just saying I'll drop it all. Fnet, why are you simping for Hiro Mashima? Because I respect the grind, hustle, and I respect that man. Leave him alone. Ken Wakui, author of Tokyo Revengers. A little secret about me is at one point in time, I loved video games. Being able to play them often feels good, yeah? Yo, the theme of this video is video games. It has to be. Fnet always wins. George Morikawa, author of Hajime no Ippo. I had a great time and will cheer on the M League next term too. I imagine he's referring to like his boxing gym and all of that, because he's into boxing outside of writing boxing manga. Negi Hadaba's Ranger Reject, which we're going to talk about in a second. The Gotobun no Hanoyame has movies and all sorts of other things going at once. I'm having a blast with it too. Yeah, shout outs to that. But it is interesting that Ranger Reject, despite the fact that I've heard great things about it, it never gets any type of push. Where's the Ranger Reject push? I'm just saying that an interesting point that I saw floating around there on Twitter. And then last but not least, To Your Eternity's Yoshitoki Oima, I rebounded. Shoutouts to you. Same here. I was in a little bit of a dark spot, and we getting back up there, fam. All love. Quickly, Blue Lock fans, if you want a new visual, here you go. Because the anime announced that it has a new key visual, and it begins October 2022 by Studio 8-Bit, and the visual looks dope, and I just can't wait for this. Honestly, like, it feels like as we continue on, this season, autumn, is going to be incredible. Like, I'm really ready, and I hate to say this, but I'm ready for summer to come and go. I really want this season of anime. I really can't freaking wait. Considering the drought that I've been, this is going to revive, you know, just so much content and stuff for us to talk about over here. I can't wait. Netflix anime movie Bubble Manga adaptation by Hijihara Erubo will be ending with Chapter 8 May 23rd at Jump Plus's app. Final Volume 2 will be released on June 3rd. Well, yeah, I mean, the movie's out now, and 8 chapters probably, what would that be? Depending on the length of the chapters, that's about like, could be 2 volumes, could be 1, 2, depending. End it. And I gotta lie, I'm not a big fan of the Bubble Manga cover at all in comparison to the amazing art from the anime. To be fair, the anime's art was designed by the artist from Death Note, so yeah. Another little something that I just wanted to throw in there that from time to time I will do. If I see a cover of a manga, because I'm a big fan of art, I'm going to just throw it in here. Whatever it is, if it's an independent or whatever, if you're working on an independent manga, actually, and you want to get a little bit of a showcase, send me what you got. If I like the cover art, I might throw it in here, but this is a smaller manga, I'd imagine. It's still a big publication, but Stage S, a manga about a boy who meets a god called White Snake that can see the future. And I just saw this cover, and I was like, this looks awesome. Shout out to my dude Nox for putting this on my timeline with a retweet, but this looks sick as hell. Now this one, I'm not gonna lie, I was like, yo, what the hell? So let's just jump straight into the article so I can break it down, because this article is probably the best way to put it, by Anime News Network. Shout outs to them. Los Angeles Chargers, and I've been shouting out a lot of people today, gaming and shout outs, here we go. Los Angeles Chargers NFL team streams anime schedule. The Los Angeles Chargers NFL team posted its upcoming schedule as an anime intro. Visually, the video sports references to One Piece, Food War, Shokugeki no Soma, Attack on Titan, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, and Naruto, along with in-jokes for NFL fans. At 27 seconds, the Las Vegas Raiders depicted as the One Piece Pirate Crew. 33, the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes and Chargers quarterback Justin Herbert shown as giant mechs. At 40 seconds, the Jacksonville Jaguars. And yeah, if you've seen it, it looked dope as hell. And they were also asking like, yo, should we make this into like a full-on anime? And why not? I would love to see more companies outside of the actual, you know, anime industry invest in anime. If you got it to do it, yo dog, if I had it, you don't think right now I would make like the most fire anime film and you know, market it in the most craziest way? Like, if I had the finances to finance some of this shit, I would make it. And I guess obviously that's what a lot of the reason why we don't get much of it, but like these dudes, you know, the NFL or some shit like that, whoever put that together, that's cool as shit. I would love to see it. Yes, finance that. I'll support it. I think that's what we need more of, so that way we could break out of the kind of drought too of where the manga and anime industry is headed towards, of like kind of a downward
downward spiral. Like, we need fresh blood. We need outside influences. We need those people that kind of are looking at anime manga like, I've seen a lot of it. I know a lot of how this is going to go, to be like, wait a minute, this is unpredictable. What the heck? These newbies, this new blood is coming in crazy with their pen. We need some of that. And I'm not saying that we need support by, you know, the Japanese companies to do our thing. I'm saying we need some type of finances. The independent creators that get finances, that, you know, have people that believe in them, are the ones that are going to change things up. Because as it stands, a lot of these companies, they're kind of set in their ways. And the reason why they usually put out a hit no matter what is the fact that they are successful and they have a name and a brand and marketing and all that stuff. So I know I went a little bit deep about it, but yeah, that was a cool little intro. I got a lot. My favorite part was like that one shot where we see like they look like Luffy and them. I don't know. It was a crazy thing altogether. Shout outs to them. Really cool. I love when other entities take interest in anime and manga and recognize the awesome source that it is. Okay, people, I genuinely want to know, after I read this bit to you guys, what do you think about this one? Because this is very, very important. It affects this show. It affects a lot of people. Courtesy of Jose underscore. Let's just jump into it. Anime leaks concern important thread. So a few days ago, Naoyuki Onda, an animated character designer, talked about the leaks that have been happening recently in the anime industry, and Jose underscore K translated and shared it. He talked with him privately, and he said they're currently investigating leaks, specifically on anime he's working on, like Urusai Yatsura, I believe he corrected and said he's not working on Bastard, or MF Ghost, and on specific accounts, like that account that I have used as a source before. They are very aware of these leaks, and they imagine that industry insiders that are leaking these teasers and informations, which mean a serious breach of confidentiality, occurred in the production. To be fair, the industry insiders are the ones that are the problem. Like, at the end of the day, they're the ones that are giving it to people online that are then spreading it, that then I eventually see like, oh, hey, there's news on a thing that happened like 3 days. Like, even though oftentimes I will get my sources from these people, I usually, because Forever News is Monday, Thursday, in case you didn't know, now you know. Subscribe, by the way, and hit that bell. A lot of the news will be official by the time I report it, or will have been reported by official accounts by the time I report it. So I'm not too worried about this one, because I could just use official sources from here on forward if need be. But they are very much so, even when it comes to news, taking it on as like a war. In his words, we would like the specific account to be aware that it is committing a criminal act of stealing trade secrets, and if possible, to voluntarily stop. And if these leaks continue, legal actions may take effect. There have already been restrictions on his work environment, such as not being allowed to exchange information with co-workers. Anime industry could face a few more secret and less interactive stages with fans if these leaks continue. Finally, for the sake of the anime industry and anime fans, we hope that people will stop getting info outside of official sources, and that fans will wait until there is an official announcement and not ask for leaks. And I will say, in terms of our show, of what we do over here, what, so I'm supposed to just like, no, I gotta just wait for a Shonen Jump magazine? No, I'm gonna report when there's stuff. Now I'm gonna try my best to move forward and report things after they're officially announced, but no, you can't basically restrict, like, it's freedom of press over here. And at the end of the day, yo, you're on the internet, you're dealing with these companies that are over here based in America, and just in general, like, that's getting to a next level. Like, okay, I understand the, you don't want people uploading your full episodes, all of that stuff. You don't want people uploading your full comics. I get all of that stuff. When you're harping to the point of threatening fans over news, you gotta go and do an investigation into the employees that are leaking it. Not the employee that's leaking it to the accounts that's leaking it to the accounts that eventually are reporting on news that is out there and public information. Like, I'm gonna just keep it real. Like, I'm not gonna say, no, yeah, you know, no. I report anime and manga news, and I try my best to do it as professional as possible. Do I make mistakes? Are there some oversights? Do we get it wrong once in a blue? Sure, we're human, but at the end of the day, to make a war over news, leaks is one thing. I get it. But go against the people that are internal doing that. And by no means am I giving pushback, because shout outs to Jose underscore K. Shout out to that person that's giving us the insight on how the anime industry feels. By no means am I going at them with that. My whole thing is, kind of check your people. They're the ones that are responsible to begin with. Now, if that account in particular is one of their people, that's a different story entirely. But I'm gonna leave that there, and you guys let me know what you think on that whole situation. Very messy, and just in general, it's like, yo, dog, y'all wanna go against, like, for the news? Like, stop. And I'm gonna end this off lastly with Mob Psycho has 1.2 million copies in circulation for the whole series, 16 volumes. Not the most successful, but such an awesome anime. What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode
episode of, is what I would have said, except yo, Japan is going bonkers right now. What's happening over there in Japan? Well, I got some crazy news to talk about on one side of the spectrum, like good stuff in terms of Chainsaw Man, Boruto, One Piece. Like, there's some goodies in this episode, absolutely. But then one of the stories that we're gonna start off with is gonna kind of, I can't even say blow your mind, because yeah, it's that freaking extreme. Let's talk about it. Let's get into it. Before we get started, I have to stress and urge that for the sake of the future of Forneva News, if you're not subscribed, if you haven't hit that bell, please do so. Taking a break on YouTube, it'd be catastrophic. And because I took a few days a couple months ago, it's been like, yo, kind of cray cray over here. So please help support the channel if you could. I'd greatly appreciate it. And with that being said, let's jump into it right now. Shonen Jump may have stepped in it. Now, I don't know what the repercussions for what they just did is going to be, but by the time you're watching this video, I'm hoping that they have cleared up the massive error and mistake, shall I say, that they made. That, yeah, I know how the Japanese companies are, and if this was an error and it wasn't strategic marketing, because now everything feels like, hey, let's throw some shock factor, this could be bad. I've seen how these Japanese companies get down. It could get bad. So I was scrolling through the Twitter timeline, because in case you don't know, I don't really do much of the spoiler stuff anymore, like once in a blue, but honestly, I'm kind of starting to leave that behind. So I'm really right now, even as of the recording of this video, mostly blind to what's about to happen with a lot of manga. I'm just not keeping in tune with the spoiler stuff. I'm preferring more of the actual, you know, enjoyment of catching it all at one given time. Like, I'm just changed, you know? But I do know that these companies are very, very strict about their IP, including when it even comes to the West. When it comes to even the West, they don't play. I remember back in the day, and I've told this story before, but I gotta tell you again, that One Piece was almost snatched away from the West for good from Funimation, not for kids, from Funimation, due to an accident where they uploaded an episode ahead of broadcast schedule in Japan. Over here in America, they had to do this whole big apology tour, basically. They had to send, like, have fans make a bunch of doves and send a whole bunch of paper cranes as a wish, please don't take One Piece away from us, over to Japan, because it was really, really bad. And in retrospect, I wouldn't be surprised if that was them trying to get some gossip going over here for One Piece, and they never really were going to do anything again. I don't know. It's just, you never know anymore with these companies. But either way, I've seen time and time again, including the fact that they constantly attack YouTubers and whatnot, they're not fans of stuff like this, because Shonen Jump seemingly accidentally posted, I don't want to say a teaser or spoilers, what do you want to call it? Basically, the cover pages and a little bit like, hey, the chapters of Dragon Ball Super and Boruto are out, alongside, again, the colored cover pages, which all of that technically is supposed to be a surprise, right? Like, they are very strict about it, but they had posted it accidentally, and that could be problematic. Now, when people clicked on the link and tried to go to the chapter, there was still that countdown thing that says, hey, you know, you gotta wait X amount of time, but the fact that the colored cover pages was released, that is technically releasing it before street date. And what makes me think, if the Japanese companies are still on that BS that they were on 12 years ago, where they try to snatch One Piece, you know, Toei try to take it away from Funimation, they could be like, oh, you know, Shonen Jump, Shueisha, whoever, you put out our colored cover pages for our upcoming chapters a day before they release in our homeland of Japan, where we make most of our profit for these manga. That could be bad. It could turn into nothing, but I've seen with the Japanese companies before, when it comes to the anime and manga realm, that section, they don't play. I mean, for crying out loud, it's not even just anime and manga. Look at gaming. You know how Nintendo gives it up, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't put no Nintendo nowhere in your videos if you want to actually make some bread, you know what I'm saying? New chapter coming in 14 hours. But on here, they have, it says, Boruto Naruto Next Generation Chapter 70, Shikamaru uses his legendary wits to try and fend off an attack from the all-seeing Ada. Read it free from the official source, and they got the cover page of Amado, and then they also have a page from Dragon Ball Super 84. Goku reflects on the bravery of his father as he prepares for the next fight. Read it free from the official source. So part of me feels like this is incredible marketing, because a lot of people are gonna be like, yo, what are you doing? Oh my god, and get people talking. There's that possibility, or it could be that they stepped in it, and we will find out eventually if Shueisha or Shonen Jump comes over with that pimp slap and be like, Nani sore? Sore wa desu ka? Daijoubu? No. It's gonna be bad, lad. So let's hope that this just gets, I don't know, swept under the rug, or it was, you know, intentional to begin with. Because again, I don't rule out the possibility, and that's why I like that, you know, I have regulars that watch my videos. Never rule out the possibility that this is all a ploy to get people like me to talk about it. That's gonna get people like you to talk about it. That's gonna in turn benefit I mean, I ain't gonna lie, the jury's still out for me when it comes to whether or not Will Smith and Chris Rock's situation was legit, so you never know, lads. Wow. Like, I'm not even gonna lie. At first, I was like, okay, I don't know if I want to talk about this one in particular between the nature of it and the fact that it isn't technically anime, and then I thought to myself, oh no, we're gonna do a special episode with this one. There's gonna be a lot of things to talk about in this episode, and yeah, apparently some dude sent a bomb threat over, like, some copyright dispute at the copyright law office over there in Japan. I was kind of like, wait, what? Japanese law office receives bomb threat following Toho Project fans' trademark rights controversy. The Mainichi reported on Tuesday that in the early morning of May 16th, a person sent a bomb threat to the Kai Intellectual Property Law Office in the Chiba Prefecture city of Sakura. This news followed after YouTuber Yuzaha on May 15th registered the trademark of Yukuri Chabangeki, and this is all like, what? Which refers to disembodied head versions of characters from Zune's Toho project that are made by fans. Yuzuha first claimed on Twitter that fans would have to pay 100,000 yen, about $770, for a license agreement. She later retracted that statement but still claimed trademark rights. However, fans criticized Yuzuha because as of October 2020, YouTube channel Toho Danmaku Kagura staff had confirmed with the ASC2 art creator, the illustrator, and Zune that anyone could freely use Yukuri Chabangeki. Yuzuha had sent requests for trademark in September 2021. The law office that received the threat applied for trademark registration on behalf of Yuzuha. As a result, multiple fans have called and emailed the law office and formed a petition against Yuzuha's trademark. Subsequently, a person who claimed that they were involved in this matter surrounding Yuzuha sent a message to a web portal around the law office's area that reads, "Multiple bombs have been placed there. They will explode around 3 p.m. The Yamaman Yukari Gaoka line and the community koala bus were temporarily suspended on May 16th at around 2 p.m. The law office posted on their website that same day, "We are sorry for the inconvenience caused by not knowing that the trademark is beloved by everyone." Numerous videos online on YouTube, Nico Nico Video, and other services use Yukuri Chabangeki along with text-to-speech technology for narration. And for some reason, this sounds like some crazy manga. I don't know why. I just thought of Flowers of Evil for a second, but in a very strange way. It's like, so I got the copyright. I'm going to try and screw fans over and say you got to pay me $770, damn near $1,000 to license this whole thing that's a fan project that a bunch of people use, and it went extreme. And honestly, you know, it's crazy because a lot of people still, and I got to always stress this, be having that misconception that if you go to Japan, all your worries are going to dissipate, you're going to be fine, everything's going to be hunky-dory, so to speak, over there in Japan. And dog, they got problems too. They have deranged people too, to, you know, send some bomb threats allegedly over some situation over trademark and stuff like that. That's wild. Like, yo, you take it to like the courts or something like that. You don't send, you know what I'm saying? That's going way overboard. And again, that should be a stark reminder to people that think, yo, I got to just make it to Japan and my life is going to be okay. It's not. There's a whole bunch of chaotic stuff happening all over the world. That's not going to save you from nothing. Honestly, I feel like anime to a certain degree has misguided people into thinking that Japan is this paradise, where I'm sure there's some amazing places and beautiful places in Japan to live, but just like everywhere else, there's also going to be good people, good areas, bad areas. That's just how it is. And even calling them bad areas, I don't even like saying that. It's more like just, you know, some misguided people, because that's just some misguided shit of like, hey, if you would have had somebody to tell you, yo, don't send bomb threats over some trademark shit, and if it was actually not that person and it was the fans that sent basically that bomb threat, and if it wasn't that Yuzuha person that sent the bomb threat, and again, it was maybe fans that were like so hardcore about like, y'all not giving the trademark to this person or nobody, like this is supposed to be a free thing, free domain, that still just proves a point of like, yo, there's a lot of chaos all over the place. And honestly, I'm just sending positive vibes to everybody involved in this one, because that's nothing to joke about. Like, there's too many crazy things happening in the world right now to be throwing out scares like that of no. And you know what, since we started off a little negative, let's start jumping into something that's gonna get us happy. You know what I'm saying? I gotta lead it. Even though we started off a little bit like, whoa, what's going on right now? Let's jump into some Chainsaw Man anime updates. Now, I keep it a buck with you. Chainsaw Man anime, it kind of feels like it's turning into a myth at this point. Like, if it don't come out in October, I quit. I give up on Chainsaw Man. That's it. It's all over, because it's been forever. And then we get a small, I'd say small, because did anybody think Chainsaw Man wasn't going to get licensed? Pretty much Crunchyroll announced that Chainsaw Man will be coming, the anime, to Crunchyroll later this year. So essentially, if you're a dub fan, for example, example, and you want to wait out to see if they're going to get dubbed, which if you thought Chainsaw Man wasn't going to get dubbed, where are you? Like, that's one of the biggest series to not have an anime and blow up ever. So yeah, that's definitely going to have a dub. But the fact that Crunchyroll hasn't is coming out later this year, that's going to be big for Crunchyroll. And I ain't gonna lie, actually thinking more and more about it, this is great news. Wow, I underestimated how great this news was, because this could have gone to like Netflix, it could have gone somewhere else with it. The fact that Crunchyroll got it means that, okay, MAPPA Studio ain't playing around, they're gonna give it to everybody, they're gonna make sure it gets exposed to everybody, because Chainsaw Man, that's going to be the biggest thing. Like, I can't wait. As a matter of fact, I am so excited for this fall season, because as I've stated before, there's a whole bunch of series coming out, including Bleach, Chainsaw Man, Blue Lock is debuting. Like, there's so many series coming out this fall. Who's gonna be top dog and who's gonna be king? That's what I want to see. Is Chainsaw Man gonna outdo everybody? Is Bleach gonna come back from, you know, its massive hiatus and just dominate like everybody is expecting? Like, who's gonna be top dog? The competition, everything about anime and manga explodes when Chainsaw Man comes later this year. It's kind of crazy. It's like, yo, it's gonna be a great time to be an anime fan in like another, I don't know, 4 or 5 months. Well, let's see, hold on. June, July, August, September, October. Yeah, about 5 months. Although it would have been nice to get a little preview of what the dub is going to sound like. I'm just saying, so I could either say yay or nay on whether or not I'm gonna go dub, because I'm not gonna lie, they have to nail this. Like, I'm sorry, this is one series where I refuse to go in and lower my expectations. I'm just not. Like, if it doesn't meet my expectations, get it out of here. That's just how I'm gonna keep it. I'm so keeping it real. If they make it that is just the most trash CGI fest ever, I'm gonna just straight up tell you guys, yo, dog, don't watch this. It's terrible. If it's great and it meets my expectations, I'm gonna also come in here and tell you guys, yo, it is freaking amazing. It is awesome. So yeah, my expectations for Chainsaw Man, I refuse to lower them to anything other than this better be a banger. It better be a banger. And honestly, with the rep that it has behind it, if they put in the extra muscle to make it look even better than like key visuals from Demon Slayer, Chainsaw Man will reign supreme. Like, Chainsaw Man is just, it's that series. Denji is him. And I didn't mean like Denji is Obito. Like, no, I was just like saying him as in him, that guy, that dude, the king. But yeah, people, Crunchyroll announcing that they've got Chainsaw Man. It will be coming a little bit later this year around October, and gonna be interesting to see how this all plays out. Next up, while we're on fire, I'm gonna use that pun to transition to Fire Force news! Because in case you don't know, the final volume of the Fire Force manga was released, I believe, today, or if not, by the time you're watching this, you know, yesterday in Japan, the final volume was released, and with it came a couple of different things, including they did like a special event for it, and there were some announcements, especially, of course, re-announcing that season 3, like it was an official announcement now, I guess you would say, season 3 of the anime is coming, but there was a bunch of other stuff that happened, and yeah, some of it is pretty freaking big. Let's start off here. Fire Force celebrates manga ending with foldable newspaper ads spelling hope. Atsushi Okubo's Fire Force manga shipped its 34th and final volume on Tuesday. To commemorate the occasion, the Yomiuri Shimbun published a full-page ad depicting the main characters surrounded with flames. The text asks, hope or despair, along with instructions on how to fold the paper. When folded, the fire spells out the Japanese characters for hope. The series will also get an online exhibition to commemorate its conclusion. And of course, in case you don't know, Atsushi Okubo did the Soul Eater manga. So that was kind of cool. I'm not even gonna lie, I wish I could get my hands on that. And I also think that's really dope to add in a positive message instead of, you know, despair. It went with hope to say, hey, you know, things can be okay. Because, you know, a lot of these times, these manga, in some form or another, whether it be metaphoric, whether it be some of the narrative resembles, it oftentimes is inspired by the real world. And sometimes it feels like the real world is on fire, so to speak. So the fact that he added in a little message, just, you know, like Future Trunks with the time machine when Bulma wrote hope, that's kind of dope that Atsushi Okubo did that. But also, if you're really in the Fire Force and mood, Fire Force will be getting a mobile RPG game. It feels like they've been announcing a lot of these mobile games, and for the most part, a lot of them haven't come out yet. So I'm interested. Like, well, I'm still waiting on the Black Clover one. The My Hero ones, they've been putting some of them out. I'm not the biggest fan of My Hero. Honestly, My Hero has not had, in my opinion, a definitive game yet. And I know I'm trailing off because this is Fire Force, and Fire Force hasn't had a definitive game and probably never will at this point, because if the series is ending and they're like, mobile RPG, and they're probably gonna use season 3 as a way to, you know, boost it and keep it going or something. But yeah, I don't even know, like a mobile RPG, I wouldn't even invest my money and time into that one, and I'm gonna tell you why. If Fire Force the manga is over, right, and Atsushi Okubo's done, unless he's planning on doing a spinoff, which he clearly has said he's done writing manga in general, they're done writing manga in general, because if the Fire Force manga is already over, right, the manga just ended, the only thing to keep this, you know, promoted and going would be the third season season of the anime. Like, I'm not sure if season 3 of the anime is going to wrap things up, because if it doesn't wrap everything up and it needs a season 4 or 4th season, then that's probably going to allow for, okay, it could go on for a while. But I wouldn't invest my money in this one, considering the fact that I know Fire Force's life cycle is pretty much almost done. Like, they're waiting on a 3rd season and they're going to use that to promote this game, but it might be one of those pump and dumps of, hey, let's see how much money we can get or whatever and bounce up out of here. And that's, of course, assuming that it's going to be like with gacha elements, like, you know, in-store purchases you could do or something like that. Because if not, then yeah, okay, I take it back. But I highly doubt that, because nowadays almost every game, especially mobile, there's like in-app purchases so that they can make some massive profit. Okay, people, and this one right here kind of threw me for a loop. When I saw it, I was like, wait, what? And it's not the biggest article in the world, but it is newsworthy. And I felt, hey, if I report it, then it's news, because I'm Forever News, baby. Or we're Forever News here. Sorry, I'm not Forever News. I'm just FNAF, I guess. But apparently the Naruto franchise is about 30 episodes away from reaching 1,000 episodes if you combine Naruto, Naruto Shippuden, and Boruto. And technically Boruto does have the word Naruto in it. Boruto, Naruto, Next Generations. And of course, you know, Naruto's in the actual series, despite the fact that it's like a sequel spin-off thingy-majig. But yeah, so we're 30 episodes away from reaching the 1,000 mark, which One Piece not that long ago had already arrived to with the manga and the anime. And it's weird that this is how Naruto arrives here. I'm not gonna lie, like, a part of me feels like, do we celebrate? I'm sure they're gonna do something. I don't know if this is going to be, that would be crazy to kind of end Boruto part 1 in 30 more episodes. And I don't know contractually where they're at with it, but imagine they decided, okay, we're gonna end part 1 of Boruto with, you know, the 1,000th episode of the franchise. Or maybe they might announce a movie or so. Oh my god, please, can we get some type of good movie? Like, you could talk all you want, and I'm gonna stand on this one right here. You ready? You could talk all the smack you want about the Boruto TV anime, Boruto manga, regardless if it's justified or unjustified. Do that, whatever, if that's your prerogative. But you know, deep down inside, when it comes to the original Boruto Naruto the movie and only Boruto Naruto the movie's content, you know that that was flames. You know that that was dope. You know that that was awesome. And I don't know, it's just kind of crazy to think, like, yo, we're almost at 1,000 episodes with this freaking franchise. Now, admittedly, have I seen every single episode of everything? No. Like, I'm gonna ask right now, keep it honest, keep it real, how much of the entirety of all of these episodes you think you've seen? So if you dropped off at Naruto, then obviously you only seen either 134, I think, or 135 before filler, or the full 220 with the filler, and then Shippuden like a gajillion. Like, how much of all of those, let's just say 970 episodes, or let's just round it off to 1,000, right? At what percentage do you think you watched all of this Naruto stuff? I'll keep it a buck with you. I probably have seen maybe 60-something percent or more. There was a lot of Shippuden filler that I was like, eh. The original Naruto filler, I skipped out on a lot of that too. The ending stuff, because obviously, like, the first 134, 35, there was a few fillers here and there, but it wasn't anything substantial. Like, after 134, 135 to 220, it was filler bonanza. And then Shippuden, oh my god. Like, again, there's some gems in the fillers, like the Chikara filler, the power filler, that one was really awesome. Some of those Road to Ninja specials were dope. Like, there was some stuff there, but realistically, I haven't probably seen no more than 70% of those episodes. Admittedly, I'm curious to see if, stand on it, how much of these episodes you think you really seen throughout all of this? I mean, because at the end of the day, it really is a big deal. Like, Naruto is one of the biggest series in the world when it comes to anime and manga, and on top of that, the franchise reaching almost 1,000, this could be the end of the original Boruto. This could be where they're like, you know what? Just like how they stopped Shippuden, I think it was at the 500 episode mark or something like that. They could be like, this is 1,000 for the full thing. Let's go to Boruto Shippuden. And probably they could tap Kishimoto and Ikimoto and say, yo, time skip. Unless they decide to pull the Dragon Ball Super and make the anime go time skip first. That would throw everyone off. Imagine the anime has the gall and says, you know what? Nah, we're going first, and then the manga has to follow suit. I mean, if they talk about it behind closed doors, like with Super, it can be done, and I wouldn't be surprised if it is done, because that would be for the betterment. Honestly, shaking things up, anything to shake shit up right now when it comes to the Boruto franchise. Okay, people, this one right here, I'm not gonna lie, I was like, what? Y'all know, in One Piece, even inanimate objects can get their shine. Even inanimate objects have been said to have made certain fans tear up, such as the goodbye to the Going Merry. That was a really, really sad episode, and it just was kind of like, wow, you know, with the whole spiritual thing of it having a spirit, and, you know, everything leading up to that, Usopp fighting Luffy and saying, no, we can't leave it behind. behind, you know, dealing with the grief of getting rid of the ship, even though it's been, you know, with you for so freaking long. That was a very powerful thing. And so when I saw this news, I was kind of like, it's not that far-fetched for One Piece at all. And again, I don't know the context behind it because I haven't seen the One Piece Film Red film, because we got an update for One Piece Film Red, the upcoming movie that's coming out in August to celebrate the, I want to say, what is it, 20-something anniversary of One Piece? Because the film is coming out August, and it says here, the latest information on One Piece Film Red. The Thousand Sunny is a surprising transformation in the play. Sunny Kun setting picture drawn by Oda is released. So Oda himself drew this actual form for the Thousand Sunny, and I'm not even going to lie, it actually looks cute. When I first saw this, I thought that this was like a new transformation for Chopper. Legitimately, I looked at it, I was like, oh, Chopper, you know, they're going to give him a new form, which I think it's about time. It's been a while since Chopper's got a new form. I mean, if we could give new forms to other characters, no spoilers here, can we at least give, you know what I'm saying, Chopper a new one? But yeah, this Thousand Sunny image is freaking interesting, and it just makes me wonder, okay, what is it that is going to make the Sunny spirit come out? Like, does it have something to do with Shanks' connection with his daughter? Because I ain't gonna lie, again, I like the design. It's just kind of like, why the hell would the Sunny manifest, and is it going to be canonical, or is it going to be something? Personally, I feel like because they still like to play with the continuity, and at the end of the day, these One Piece films can't fit exactly perfectly into certain stories. I mean, they could kind of, you squeeze them in, but they ain't gonna fit exactly right. But it makes me wonder, like, if that is the spirit of the Thousand Sunny, is that gonna be canonical to the story in the manga, or is this gonna be just something that is representing it? Maybe it could be like some animal that can change shape and sees a Thousand Sunny, thinks it's cool, and takes the shape of the Thousand Sunny, and Oda's kind of pulling our leg here. Because again, something like that is kind of like manga material, unless like the manga gets to a point in between now and then, or the anime does like a filler where the Sunny is really damaged and something has to happen to change it. So we gotta wait and see. But yeah, the Sunny, Thousand Sunny with a humanoid form, there you go. Oh, and quickly, while we're still talking about One Piece, I did want to take a look at this. It's some like snack wrap thing or something, but the art here was just really weird. And this is official One Piece art on the official One Piece staff Instagram account, 62,000 likes, you know it's legit. For starters, we got like a little black cat with Chopper's hat and what looks like an elderly, or not elderly, but maybe a middle-aged Japanese man, like playing a horn or something, cosplaying as Luffy. Then the next one is Shanks putting, okay, so all of these is with a black cat. Shanks putting the straw hat on the black cat and having a black hat with three red stripes through it. Three red stripes. I'm putting 1,000% that Shanks is bad. I don't care. I know you might think it's corny. I know you're probably missing context. You're not caught up. You don't even know what I'm talking about. You just clicked on this right now. Like, there's all sorts of people watching this. I'm telling you, I am 1,000% sure Shanks is bad. Shanks is evil. Shanks might be a royal or something. Or if he's not evil, there's some evil with him, like a Doflamingo-esque connection to royals. Something there with Shanks. That hat just screams to me. I know you're probably thinking, yo, Fenev, it's a hat. Numbers mean certain things, colors, all of that stuff, and that hat, I don't know, fam, I don't know. Fenev, you're just spicing up this video to talk about Shanks. And, like, why can't I get people excited about Shanks, dog? You know you love Shanks, don't lie. And then just looking at the snack wrap box, like, this is a cool gift to give somebody. God, man, anime is continuing to blow up, and things like this will slowly but and surely make their way over here, because I see stuff like kind of like this more and more over in like FYE and the mall and stuff like that. Like, even this cup noodle with the green top and stuff, like, all of this is really cool stuff. But yeah, when it comes over here, it'd be mad expensive. Like, over there, you know, converting it is way cheaper than over here because they got to bring it. But yeah, I don't know, that Shanks picture is just like, why the, you know what I'm saying? Or maybe it's the exact opposite and he's just, you know, covert, but he really isn't rocking that three red hat and all that stuff for bad purposes. It's because he wants to save people. We shall see. 100% guarantee you didn't see this coming. 100% guarantee you're probably like, whoa, because I didn't see it coming either. But at the same time, I could kind of sort of understand it in a way. In case you ain't here, apparently Rick and Morty is getting an anime again. Rick and Morty is getting an anime. Now, I ain't gonna lie, I love Rick and Morty. I haven't watched Rick and Morty in years because there was a certain emotional attachment I had with a certain person that I was watching with. I can't watch Rick and Morty anymore, but I loved it. I thought it was one of the greatest cartoons I ever seen, American cartoons. It felt like, you know, the meme started hitting me of like, you don't understand Rick and Morty, you're not smart. Like, I was really on that level of how much I loved Rick and Morty. Hearing this, I'm like, maybe I could watch Rick and Morty again if it's an anime. Like, it'd be a little bit different. Adult Swim announced on Wednesday that it has greenlit two new anime series, Rick and Morty, the anime, and Ninja Kamui. Both series will premiere premiere on Adult Swim and HBO Max. Essentially, Adult Swim went to the streamers, kind of traditional TV lost. I'm going to just straight up say it right there. When I see that stuff, considering the fact that Adult Swim, or in particular people that are connected to Adult Swim, have oftentimes lashed out to a certain degree about the streaming era and saying, that's why y'all want to be on cable with us. To see Adult Swim going and partnering up with HBO Max, it's a great partnership. It does feel like, yo, you throw a lot of smack, no, you throw a lot of smack, look at you. But that Rick and Morty art, like, you know, they have them shout out, but I could tell this is going to be incredible. Now, and also that Ninja Kamui thing, you never know, that could be kind of cool too. That sounds interesting at the very least. But I'm wondering, right? There's a strong possibility. I'm going to give you guys this. This is an insight of some stuff that does happen. Actually, let's finish reading this first and then we'll get to that, because it just says, Takashi Sano, Tower of God, will direct the 10-episode Rick and Morty the anime series at Telecom Animation Film, Lupin the Third, Shenmue the Animation. He previously directed the Rick and Morty versus Genocider and Summer Meets God, Rick Meets Evil animated shorts. The anime will be an original work with adapted themes and events from the main Rick and Morty animated series. So it's going to be original. It's not going to be connected, so to speak. And regarding Ninja Kamui, Sung-Woo Park, Jujutsu Kaisen God of High School, will direct the futuristic action adventure anime Ninja Kamui. Yo, Sung-Woo Park, or forgive me if I'm mispronouncing it, Sung-Woo Park from Jujutsu Kaisen God of High School will direct. Oh my god, that's big. That's like really, really big. Wow. Because you can say whatever you want about God of High School and Jujutsu Kaisen, but in particular God of High School, the art and animation was incredible. I'm just worried, like, hopefully we got a balance like between the two, where, well, no, Jujutsu Kaisen is damn near perfectly paced. I don't know, man. Let's see if it's good. It should be good, as long as they don't go too fast with it. And then Takeshi Okazaki, who did Afro Samurai, Star Wars Visions, and Batman Ninja, is designing the characters. ENH Production and Sola Entertainment, Lord of the Rings, War of the Rohirrim, and Blood Runner, Black Lotus, Ultraman are producing the series. Adult Swim describes the anime as, Ninja Kamui follows Joe Hegan, who is a Nukanin, a former ninja who escaped his clan and is hiding from his violent past in rural America with his family. One night, he is ambushed by a team of assassins from his former organization who exact a bloody retribution on Joe and his family for betraying their ancient code. Rising from his seeming death, Joe will reemerge as his former self, Ninja Kamui, to avenge his family and friends. Kamui is a 21st century ninja, a shadowy anachronism who pits his ancient skills against high-tech weaponry with brutal finesse. He must face off against trained assassins, combat cyborgs, and rival ninjas to bring down the very clan that made him. Studio Dean produced the first Samurai and Shogun animated short for the Rick and Morty... I had to look for the camera for a second. I'm not used to this. Forgive me. Studio Dean, that aired on Toonami and streamed online in March 2020. Adult Swim streamed a sequel in November. And I'm going to keep it real with you. I think for starters, they got some really positive results with those shorts. Also, though, I have two theories on why they're doing this. Well, three. Three could just be straightforward. Hey, they want to do a Rick and Morty anime. They feel like it'll work. The audience, you know, it's very mixed with anime fans and stuff like that. Very well could be as simple as that. It could be the anime studio that normally works on Rick and Morty is busy and they have an episode order. They want more Rick and Morty. Oh, y'all don't want to do it, or they got bad business strain, like their business ties are strayed with them. Oh, we're gonna go somewhere else. Could also be, hey, we got more episodes to do. We are very uninspired. We don't have anything that we can think of right now. How about we just do this really cool anime thing to fill those 10 episodes, different studio, all sorts of stuff, original thing, and they can still meet that 10 episode order that they might have, or of a big order. Like, yo, we got 40 episodes we got to do. Let's throw 10 of them to like some really cool idea, and then we got a story that fits about 30 episodes. But again, we got to wait to see. Either way, this sounds like an incredible idea. This sounds like a way, as crazy as it sounds, that I could get back into Rick and Morty. Like, I really, as much as I love Rick and Morty, I had an emotional attachment. I used to watch that with my fiance. I used to binge watch it like night after night, all night long. So I really can't watch Rick and Morty anymore. An anime version of it, maybe it looking different might be different for me. I don't know. And I know maybe some people can't understand that, but yeah. Okay, so this next one we're gonna cover briefly, because I feel like we've seen most of the results for this one already, like at the end of last year. However, there were some things that really clarified, or got clarified for me, when it comes to the manga industry and sales in particular of certain series, because what we have here is pretty much Oricon's yearly comic sales ranking for 2021 of the top 50 best-selling manga. If I'm not mistaken, for whatever reason, Oricon only released like the top 10 or something like that this past time, or at the very least, I only had gotten my hands on the top 10. However, we got 50, and that's more interesting to me because I kind of already know what are going to be the top 10 for the most part.
But then after that, you know, you see Kaiju, you see Promised Neverland, Dr. Stone. I find it fascinating to see that even Kimetsu no Yaiba Gaiden is in the top 20 selling manga. A spinoff. Is that the gag one? I want to say that either. No, that's not the gag one. I'm lying. I think that's the spinoff about Rengoku. 2.3 million. Like, the fact that that outsold Fire Force, a full-blown series that did 2.1. Shout out to Fire Force. I'm not trying to shit on it by any means. Love it. Outsold Golden Kamuy, Toilet Bound, Marshall Slam Dunk. Wow. It outsold Black Clover. Black Clover sold 1.3 million copies last year. Interesting. Like, it's in the top 40, top 50 best-selling at number 38, Black Clover. But in comparison, it's interesting. Also, I gotta stop saying it's interesting. I get it. It's interesting, lads. But Dragon Ball Super at 46 with 1 million. A lot of the times, Dragon Ball Super volumes seemingly in the first couple weeks outsell Black Clover. But clearly, there's a big push that Black Clover gets at the very least to do 300,000 more. So shout-outs to Black Clover outdoing Dragon Ball Super in that aspect. And then seeing Dragon Quest The Adventure of Dai at 1.5 is crazy. Like, that's a manga from what, the 70s or 80s? Might be 90s, I might be exaggerating, but that's a really old manga that is, you know, because of the anime's revival, doing pretty decent numbers. And Marshall went on an anime 1.7. The end of this year is going to switch things up. Like, I'm gonna be curious for, I guess, the 2023 manga sales chart. Honestly, 2022's manga charts, I don't see it being all that different from this, aside from removing the series that either fell off or completely ended. Other than that, like, it's gonna for the most part be a little bit stale, because at the end of this year is when the anime, all the big anime, all the big guns from Chainsaw Man, Bleach, all of them are coming, and then that's going to reflect the manga sales of the next fiscal year, because by November they cut off the counting mark for Oricon. They do November to November, November to October, so we won't have that. But the impact from everything happening in fall 2023 is where it's going to be. It's going to be mad random where we're going to see Bleach in 2023 easily in the top 10 best-selling manga list. Like, because just imagine the back catalog that they could do. All they got to do is have maybe one or two recap episodes about Bleach to bring some people up to speed so they can understand. Please redo the animation. Like, you've made fans wait so long. A recap to a certain degree with beautiful art and animation is deserved at the very least. So for new fans to get in as well. Yo, imagine if this is just going to be a big reboot of Bleach from the beginning. Like, just think about it. First of all, they don't got to do any filler at all. Remove Bounto, remove all of that. If they redid Bleach from the beginning, oh my god. Now, there's no word at all of that. In fact, all they've said is the Thousand Year Blood War, so please don't nobody say, Fennec World said that it's coming with a brand new reboot. But if they did, that would be huge and insane. But yeah. This list, for the most part, just shows that, like, some series, again, they don't need an anime. Look, One Punch Man hasn't had an anime in years. 900, almost a million. There's a lot of series that'll shock you on here. Like, a lot of people have been taking to the fact that, yo, how is Slam Dunk outselling some of these series that are running right now and that shit been over forever? Legends never die, lads. Okay, people, next up, a small update. I'm not sure how many fans are going to be excited for this. I mainly reported on this at this point just because the author, Shinobu Otaka, made one of my favorite manga of all time, Magi the Labyrinth of Magic. I love that series. And they have a new series, Orient. Well, they've been working on this since 2018, so it's been about 4 years running now. Art style similar to Magi, of course, same author, same artist. But Orient, in case you missed it, the anime was a poo-poo platter, and not the good kind, my lord. Like, legitimately, the Orient anime was just not it. It was unwatchable for me personally. Like, and I tried. I gave it about 4 or 5, maybe even 6 episodes. I really, really wanted to love this. I was wanting so bad to say, Shinobu Otaka is back. Shinobu Otaka is here. And I just couldn't get into the anime. However, for those that did, Orient anime's second part introduces Uesugi Bushi Warriors in video. The staff for the TV anime of Shinobu Otaka's Orient manga posted an Uesugi Bushidan promotional video and the third main visual of Musashi and Michiru for the anime's second quarter of a year on Wednesday. The video features the first footage from the anime's next part and introduces the members of Tatsuomi Uesugi's band of warriors. And I'm not gonna lie, this key visual right here of the main character alongside, do I know who that chick is? Is that the one that they met that's like real annoying and bratty? But either way, this art looks cool. Realistically, you're not gonna fool me again. I know that the art and animation is dog poo poo. Unless I see something that shows me it has vastly changed, I'm sorry, I'm not watching it. It's just that simple. Like, there's plenty other shows, old shows, ancient shows that I could watch that have solid animation. This one, Orient, as much, and it's not that I need solid animation, but you have horrible, still stiff animation on top of the fact that, honestly, the story didn't really captivate me. It kind of just felt like it was very generic, especially especially considering I was like, that's Shinobu Otaka. Why is this coming this way? It could be that the anime, I only read the first couple chapters of the manga and I did like the manga. So it could be that this adaptation is just dog water, but I don't know, man. And forgive me for the way it's coming across as disrespectful, because I really love Shinobu Otaka. But even this visual right here of this band of people, like, they look so badass. The coloring, like, you could tell that they're really making an attempt to make it look beautiful, at least for these key visuals. But I know that that's a lie. Unless I see something that shows me actual footage from the show, I'm gonna actually look right now and I'm gonna see if it's BS, if they're BSing. Because if I'm not mistaken, it says in the article that basically they have a preview for the next piece of the anime, right? So let's take a look at this trailer and see if it represents anything other than dog water. And forgive me to dog water, because that's wrong to insult dog water. Okay, so still animation, literally just a slideshow of some really beautifully colored character designs, but not showing the show. Okay, it's still just the characters. Okay, the art looks a little bit more clean. The show still looks flat as hell. Yeah, it looks, they've artistically tried to make the color palette and the coloring a lot better, but I could tell this is the same shit with like a new coat of paint on it. It's the same thing. Like, bravo, you figured out to make it look a little bit more like fulfilling in terms of visually off rip, but it's just, you can see that they're not moving fluid at all. It's like, keep it. Sorry, I just gotta keep it real. I don't want that. Okay, next up, Hunter Hunter fans, now relax. It's not coming back. It probably never is. I'm just keeping it a buck. It's probably never coming back. However, Hunter Hunter joins Puzzle and Dragons mobile game for action-packed collab. Do you have what it takes to get your hunter's license? Takashi doesn't. For a limited time, mobile game Puzzle and Dragons will be putting you to the test thanks to a collaboration with Hunter x Hunter. The collab, which is now underway, will hook you up with special characters just for participating. Players who log in while the event is running will get a free draw from two Hunter x Hunter Memorial Egg Machina Gacha. Familiar faces are up for grabs, including Gon, Hisoka, Crollo, and Phaeton. And the art looks cool. I'm looking at it. You got Gon, you got Hisoka the Magician, head of the troop Crollo, man, Crollo, I miss him, Phantom Troop member Phaeton. Like, all of this looks dope, and the event will also feature three dungeons, the Hunter x Hunter dungeon packed with characters from the series, Hunter x Hunter Phantom Troop dungeon where you can earn medals to trade at the Monster Exchange, and Hunter x Hunter Challenge with a chance to earn a free gacha pool. Plus, you can earn your hunter's license at the Monsters Exchange and give yourself a gacha boost with a trio of real money premium bundles. And honestly, I say all that to say that those pictures, the art looked pretty. Doesn't do anything for me, lads. I just give you guys something Hunter x Hunter because Takashi does not care. Takashi wasn't there. It seems he doesn't care. Takashi wasn't there. And lastly, lads, I got a couple of stories I want to run through because they kind of interest me. For starters, Black Lagoon spin-off series, Black Lagoon Soija Sawyer Katai Gori Gori Musume by Tatsuhiko Ida and Reihiro is on the cover of the upcoming Sunday GX. And it's just dope to see Revy, even though she looks so different in the manga and magazines and stuff than in the anime, but always a cool thing to see Revy and see that Black Lagoon is once again moving. I feel like Black Lagoon, because of the author's issues, which is completely understandable, it just moves so slow. Like, we rarely get any updates on it, and it's like, the day we ever get another Black Lagoon anime will be fire. Honestly, I think a remake of it with today's art and animation would probably catapult it, especially, like, that could be a great Netflix thing. And I hate to say that because I know a lot of people, but like, if it was a completed release with full art animation that it needs and all that jazz, Netflix, Black Lagoon. I mean, I know they're big on diversity and all that stuff. Black Lagoon is as diverse as you get, and it's a freaking incredible show. If they did a live action and nailed it, actually did a good one that is practically written for live action. Then this little story that I was just happened to stumble around and I saw some Twitter user, forgive me, I don't have their name here, but this was like a release in like another country. I don't know if this is the UK. It looks like the UK. I might be off on that, but this was a Berserk volume, and it just looks incredible by Kentaro Miura. This is 41, and it's like an original, like, oh, just look at it. Just look at it. Like, I can't even explain. Just look at it. It looks freaking amazing. I want this, man. Like, you know, with the passing of Kentaro Miura, it's a drought for Berserk. I don't even know where to go moving forward when it comes to Berserk. Of should I read the last bit that I never read? Is there gonna be more? If there is more, are they gonna rebrand, or how's that gonna work? Is it gonna make sense? Is it gonna fit? Is it gonna feel the same? Are they gonna be able to write it like Kentaro Miura? Probably not. They're probably not gonna be able to write it, or they're probably not gonna be able to draw it. If he left specific instructions, they could kind of mimic some of what he's done. And art wise I know with Giganto, what was it, Giganto, I think I was gonna say Giganto Maki. My hero, relax. No, but I want to say with Giganto, the art style was somewhat close, and I believe that was the staff that handled that. So if they have his you know, drawings around and they practice enough, rather than like what happened with Boruto, where Ikamoto was just thrown in and he had to learn how to draw Naruto within like 10 months or a year. Just allow them to learn the best that they can with Kentaro Miura's art style, and if they're gonna do it, if they're hell-bent on it, then do it. If not, leave it alone. And I know I went off on a rant, but I just had to, because like, yo, Berserk, dog, I love Berserk. Look at that book. And then Shield Hero fans, even though I'm not watching the latest season, and I'm gonna jump on that one too, the Rising of the Shield Hero Season 2's new visual looks sick. I heard like the animation and art wasn't that great so far this season. I don't know if it picked up or not. Hopefully, because I did like the Rising of the Shield Hero. Oh, and there's a little JoJo's info right here. Thus spoke Kishibe Rohan, color page by JoJo's Bizarre Adventure creator Hirohiko Araki in the latest Ultra Jump issue. Y'all don't know, there's some more Rohan spinoffs going on. We'll probably get them soon and animated. Like, Netflix ain't, they pay too much money for, you know, this Rohan stuff. We're getting more. And I ain't gonna lie, it's dope to see Araki still busting some stuff out. I know he's on right now a little break until he does part 9, but it looks cool, and I could really appreciate Araki's art style looking at it right now. Holy cow. And yeah, people, that's all we have for this one. Curious what you guys think. Most important story, favorite story, something I ain't covered that you're like, yo, Fenev, why you ain't covered that? Let me know. That's all I have for this one. I'm Fenev World. Have an awesome day. And remember the golden rule, anime and manga for life. Bye. Have an awesome day. Peace. And you guys just watched another episode of
Whatever News.
Have an awesome day. Subscribe and hit that bell, lads. Log bang.